For me, it's about letting people see the big picture. I tell my guys this joke that I don't want you to become a senior engineer at PMI and then you go to another company and then you are a junior engineer. I said that would be a shame to me. As a Nigerian or as a Nigerian business owner, you don't have the luxury to do just one thing. We want to be that one-stop shop for any company who wants to meet their customers' communications needs across multiple channels. So be it across SMS, across voice, across email, across WhatsApp, we want to be your go-to. Be a million-dollar company, a unicorn, without collecting venture capital. I mean, please, go ahead. To be honest, like, whatever you can do, do it. For me, I like to see it from another perspective. Having investors, two things. One, because you've collected people's money. People's hard-earned money invested into your business, it just has to.
Before we dive into today's episode, I want to thank our sponsor, Grabify. If you're a freelancer or remote worker in Nigeria, you know the struggle. You get paid in dollars, but by the time it reaches you, fees and conversion rates have chopped a big chunk. That is why I started using Grabify. It gives you a free US checking account right from Nigeria. Getting started is simple. Go to grabify.com or download the Grabify mobile app. Sign up with your ID and you're ready to share your account with clients. Clients can now pay you directly in USD without any middleman. You can save in dollars, spend internationally, or convert instantly to Naira at Grabify's competitive rates. And with no hidden fees, your money stays protected under the United States law. So if you're freelancing or running a side hustle, don't let bad rates eat your money up. Download Grabify today and use my referral code Esther to get started. Link. Hi everyone and welcome to another episode of the Tech Journey Podcast. I'm very excited today because I have a special guest with me on my, in my virtual studio. I have the CTO of Temai, Ayomide Aure, today. Welcome, Ayomide.
Thank you. Welcome to the Tech Journey Podcast.
Happy to be here. You're welcome. It's good to have you on my virtual seat, and I think I would like to get started by just asking how are you. I think a lot of times when you say how are you, people say fine. But how are you? I don't want to hear fine.
I'm okay. It's not fine, but I'm okay. I'm doing okay. Things been pretty good. Work is work, but I enjoy it, so I'm okay. Taking it
there. Okay.
So how are you?
If you had to describe your week, I think I'm good. I'm actually very good. This month and this year in general has been a very happy one for me. I'm productive, doing so many things at the same time, and I'm enjoying every single one of it. So yeah, I'm very good. And I was going to say, if you had to describe your week in like an adjective, how would you qualify your week?
Busy. Yeah, I mean, I couldn't believe today, like, it's Wednesday already. I was actually talking with someone and I was almost arguing that today is Tuesday. They said, no, today is Wednesday. I'm like, no, today is Tuesday. Today can't be Wednesday. Right, yeah, it's been pretty busy. Yeah, that's how I'm like.
That's good. I know you just wrapped up like Temai 4.0. I saw the post, I think, on LinkedIn and Instagram. When did you have the event?
That was early August. Temai Elevate 4.0. Okay. Yeah, it's something we do every year. I mean, we've been doing it 4 years now. This year was the fourth time. Basically just gathering, tech enthusiasts, developers, engineers, and talk about what's like building in Africa and building communications infrastructure in Africa as well.
Awesome. So I'm sure we'll be hearing a bit about that in our conversation today, because we'll be talking about Temai, about your journey, and just learnings that you've gotten over the couple of years that you've been building Temai. But before we go into that conversation, let's start by talking about Temai. I think you've been on Temai since 2017, if I'm not wrong. So yeah. What was that like in terms of having the idea and then executing? How did it all start?
Okay, very interesting story. I don't know if you want this story, but I myself and my co-founder Emmanuel, I call him Bolade, we've been doing stuff together since 2014. Different things together, actually, different projects, worked on different, you know, projects together in general, right? We tried to solve a couple of problems, but we discovered that, you know, they were not pain killers, right? There were things that probably the market wasn't ready for, you know, and some of those things just gradually fizzled, you know, out. But then in 2017, you know, after my co-founder had done, you know, worked somewhere, then, you know, he saw a communication gap, you know, within that particular company, you know, and, you know, it hit me. It's like, see, if he sees that there's a gap here, you know, and there's something that we need to do to actually bridge this gap. And we started a particular iteration of Termite then. But then I think 2020, we didn't pivot, but because to be honest, what we've been doing since 2017 has been around communications, right? But just in red shades, right? But then coming 2019, we're like, 2019, 2020, you know, during YC, you know, we sat down to look at what exactly do our customers need, because we had customers. So what exactly do our customers need? And we narrowed that down and we're like, hey, this is the problem. I remember where we were working in San Francisco, and it felt like it was a eureka moment, right? Because we're like, yes, this is what customers actually need. And we pivoted, I don't want to say use the word pivoted, right? Because again, it's still communications that we have been doing. But we sort of just drilled down to solving for that particular need. And that was how, you know, things took off for us.
Okay, so I know you mentioned that you don't want to use pivoted, but let's use pivoted for lack of a better word. I'm guessing you started with an idea that was still in line with communication, and then you kind of refined it. So what was the idea that you started with, and how did the whole refinement go?
So we started out with email marketing, right? We're building, we're basically helping businesses to retain their customers. That was our goal, right? And, you know, retaining customers through, you know, using marketing tools. So we had email marketing, we had SMS marketing, you know, we had this email marketing tool that we had developed, and we had like some customers using it, you know, and we had SMS marketing tools with customers using it as well. We had other channels, WhatsApp here and there, you know, that we had customers, you know, but then when we looked at it, we discovered that there was a rise in companies or fintechs wanting to verify their customer transactions, right? And a couple of these transactions were not happening via email. These transactions were happening via SMS, right? SMS, WhatsApp. Mm-hmm. People wanted to verify phone numbers. That was what people, they wanted to verify phone numbers, right? And these were amongst like fintechs, financial technology, you know, businesses, startups, you know. And we saw that amongst those who were our existing customers, right? And again, so imagine we provided them with even APIs at that particular time, we provided them with dashboards and then APIs, but then we saw that these guys, you know, were the ones really using the platform. People who wanted to send one-time passwords, product notifications, they were the ones using the platform, right? And, you know, we decided to, you know what, let us go ahead to focus on Termite being that product or platform that you come to verify your customer transactions and send product notifications to your customers across SMS and WhatsApp. And then along the line, we added voice, we added email. And down the line, this was to 2019, because we've had like different, you know, okay, transition phases, right? You know, and then we discovered that we don't just want to be those guys that you come to. Yes, everybody comes to us for product notifications, one-time passwords, but we wanted to do more, right? Because we discovered that businesses had communication needs. So they have to plug in like 5-10 different, you know, partners, you know, just to meet communicating with their own customers, right? And we're like, no, we want to be that one-stop shop for any company who wants to meet their customers' communications needs across multiple channels. So be it across SMS, across voice, across email, across WhatsApp, you know, we want to be your go-to, you know, guys. So, and that could be ranging from product notifications to one-time passwords, even down to campaigns, so marketing campaigns, you know, as well. Yeah, so that's how, I don't know if I sort of like helped paint that journey.
Yeah, you painted a joint. That's how you kind of pivoted, because you mentioned that you didn't just want to be like a small part of, like, say people want to communicate. You wanted to abstract all the other parts of communication and just make Termite that, you know, one solution that would help companies. So I know it's interesting, because when you talk about that, I also think about on the other side, when you're starting a business and like running a startup, people will probably tell you that you should niche down and you should just focus on one thing. But in your case, even though you started up with, you know, a particular solution, you try to ensure that, okay, Termite is meeting, if you want to kind of like WhatsApp, you know, your customers, Termite can do that. If you want to send emails, so how did you, my question is, how did you spread yourself wide in order to still thrive in the Nigerian audience? Because it's interesting, Nigeria is a very particular, or I would say Africa in general is a very particular, you know, market. And in terms of also driving adoption, some people say, no, we want only this one, and you know, we want this one. But how are you able to scale that fast and still ensure that you're not burning out as a business?
So I would start by saying this. I was somewhere where someone asked this question, you know, to a particular founder as well, and he said, as a Nigerian or as a Nigerian business owner, you don't have the luxury to do just one thing. So,
that's true, Chef.
You don't have the luxury to do just one thing, right? Maybe American businesses, you know, businesses or tech businesses in Silicon Valley, they can decide to niche down, right? But for us, it's, what were we trying to solve? What problem were we trying to solve? Right? You see, there's a constant theme in what I've been saying, which is communications, right? And that was where we started from. We started from communications, and we sort of like narrowed it down to what our customers needed at that particular time, which was to verify their customers' transactions and, you know, product notifications. At that particular point, that was what businesses, you know, needed. And for us, it also like helped us, you know, stay laser focused. Because to be honest, as a business owner, right, you want to be laser focused at the beginning. You know, look for that particular painkiller, you know, in that particular, you know, the problem you're trying to solve, you know, and go for it. Start from solving the problem in the most minimal, you know, way that you can, right? So I mean, that's why I'm saying maybe MVP, but maybe an MVP, but look for which is what we did, right? Because like I said earlier on, we were doing so many things, but we're like doing so many things, it feels like you are not doing anything, because we didn't have we're just barely three or four in the company at that particular time. So it felt like we were spreading ourselves too thin, you know. But being laser focused, we discovered that, hey, this is the problem that the market had, right? And this is what we wanted to solve at that particular time. And then we basically just grew with that. Now, the interesting thing is, along the line, our customers started seeing the need for other things that we could provide to them. So today we have products that we are, you know, that we are building, that we brought out, that were as a result of we talking to our customers, right? And hearing them talk about the problems that they are having and how they would like us to help them solve those problems, right? So it's like we've moved from we seeing our customers' needs, right, and narrowing down, you know, to our customers coming to us to say, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 customers coming to us to say, see, we have this particular problem, how can you solve this problem for us? And like I said, there's one thing that, you know, we've stayed consistent with from the beginning, which is communications, right? So when by default, in fact, when customers have a communication need that we are not even solving, you know, at a particular point in time, they come to meet us first to say, hey guys, we want to do this, you know, can you, is this something you can do? And if it's something we have the bandwidth for, like, hey, why not? But if it's something we can't, they're like, guys, we can't. Yeah.
Quick pause from the episode, because if you've been job hunting and feeling stuck, I need you to hear this. Hired is my 3-day career accelerator that I designed for folks like you, those that are tired of applying, hearing nothing back, and want a step-by-step guide on how to land their dream tech job. Inside Hired, I don't just talk about how to fix your resume based on generic advice. I actually walk you step-by-step on how to craft an ATS and keyworded optimized resume that attracts recruiters. And that's not all. I also teach you how to turn your LinkedIn profile into a direct job invite magnet. I'll also show you how to craft a job search plan that saves you time and gets you results. People like Bukola join Hired, follow the steps, and has this to say: Hired is the most step-by-step plan I've come across. I finally know what to do every single day. Now Bukola is on her way to land her dream role, and you could be the next. If you're tired of guessing and want a real strategy that works, then visit thefreelancehq.com/hired. Or check the description box below for a link to save your seat. Let's get you hired. Now, back to the episode.
Do you remember, I don't want to say when we first met, but do you remember our first conversation ever? I was going to ask you if you remember.
I remember, on but LinkedIn. Yes, I know that was sometime in 2020. Right, when I was begging,
yeah,
to come
that out. Was sometime in 2020. Yeah, that was sometime in 2020. I think I was, yes, I was finishing my boot camp, my coding boot camp, then, yeah, and then you sent me a message about, yeah, coming to work at Tamai. And at, right, that time, I didn't come to Tamai, but, yeah, I also know that working with talent in Nigeria can be interesting. Like, you're either reaching out to someone, and, you know, maybe the person might even agree to come and work, mm-hmm, with you, right? And then you train the person, few years or few months down the line, the person leaves. So I know people, I have friends that are also running startups, and the stories we hear are just very interesting. You'll be like, oh my God. Mm-hmm. So I want to ask you, how exactly have you coped with that whole managing talent, hiring talent moving here and there in Tamai? How have you managed to still thrive despite that challenge?
So that's a very interesting question, right? And thinking about it, I would say, I think I've just been blessed, opportune, right, to work with really great people. I've had someone who joined in 2020, you know, when at that point in time, right, I was looking for people to join me, you know, in building, which was when we spoke. And till today, yeah, the guy is here. In fact, he leads a team now, awesome, right, on the engineering team, you know. But for me, it's about letting people see the big picture, right? I know it sounds like cliche, but I've had people who have exited, definitely. And I tell my guys this, everyone who works with me, that I'm not scared of you leaving, right? And I'm very open up. I'm very open, you know, about it. Like, I know that there will definitely come a time where you would have to leave, right? But I want you to leave to somewhere better, right? You know, I don't want. So it's about two things. One, termite gives you the opportunity for you to grow, right? Focus on your growth. The honest truth is that if you can grow and become a solid engineer, right? People will, companies will be the one chasing you at the end of the day, right? You won't be the one running after, you know, seeking to do 100 interviews or having to do like 5 different jobs, you know, at a particular time. So I think that's like my base philosophy. Right, I empower the guys that work with me, you know, and I let them know. See, I'm not. Which, but I feel like some engineers, you know, I work with engineers, product, you know, and the product managers, product designers, and you know, working with some of them over the years, I've seen like a lot of people they feel like you are scared, you know, to let them go. Right, you don't want to see them go, and I tell my like. I'm not, to be honest. If you leave today, I will get somebody else that will replace you. Somebody else that can. I hope they don't listen to this. But
someone else that can do the work.
I've got somebody else that can do the work, to be honest. But I mean, it might be difficult to really like get someone. But I mean, there are people out there that are looking for people. And I feel like a lot of my guys are also very comfortable working, you know, at Termite. Termite has like a very beautiful culture, you know, and even the technology team as well, right? I've been able to find a synergy, you know, amongst everyone that works with me. And two things, so I ensure that people are growing, right? Because the more you grow, the more value you can bring, you know, to the team. And also, it also helps your career in the long run. So I tell my guys this joke that I don't want you to become a senior engineer at Termite and then you go to another company and then, you know, you are a junior engineer. I said, that would be a shame to me, right? So,
definitely.
Yeah, so I'm like, guys, we need to put in the work, you know, we need to grow. So I just preach growth, that's the honest truth. In fact, when we started this year, we started with 3 key pillars. One, excellence, another, growth, and the other one, innovation, right? So it's about growth for me. Last year as well, you know, I was all about growth. And why? Because I've seen that you growing doesn't just help you as an individual, it helps what you can contribute, you know, to, you know, the company. And we are here to support you. And generally, I mean, we are humans, right? People want people who can support them. And so far, so good. Yeah. I think it's for me.
Yeah, that's good. And how many people are you now in Termite, like in terms of the size of the team?
Of my own team or Termite as a whole?
As a whole, as a company?
Yeah, about 50, but not so much. I'm still a small company.
50?
Yeah, 50 people.
50 is quite good. 50 is not small at all. 50 is not small, I mean, at all. It's
actually 50 is the size of someone else's engineering team.
So, you're trying to be humble, right? Oh yeah, you're like 50, but 50 is but 50 is actually very good, like in terms of growth and the numbers. Like I've worked at a company that were just 7, and so what would you call that?
I miss those days when we're just 5, 6.
You miss those days. I think they have the advantages. When you're lean, you can probably move faster, but as you grow, you also want to ensure that you're hiring talent that can do the work, and you're also in line with what you said. I remember early last week I was speaking with someone, so I was actually interviewing with a company, and I asked him like, what are you looking for and how do you support the people that work with you? And very similar to what you said, he talked about how, you know, he's very particular about growth for the person, because if the individual at that company is not growing, that means they're not going to be doing their best work. So, and for me, that was just very incredible, because I hear a lot of stories about, you know, companies that they have very toxic work cultures, that they're all about the work and they don't even care about you as a person. But it's important that as companies, you know, as startups are growing and scaling, they are very particular about the kind of culture that they are building at that company. So I love what you said about ensuring that, you know, you're growing in your career, and if you feel like tomorrow you want to leave and go to another place, you still are confident that you can do the job at that new company. Yeah. Exactly. So let's talk a bit about raising. I know Temai is a YC company, or was a YC company. You got into YC and you also raised, like, you closed a Series A of about $3.65 million. So let's talk about pre-series. Okay. Good. So let's talk about raising and funding. What was that whole journey to raising like?
Okay. So to be fair, right, I try not to, I mean, obviously I'm on most of those calls, but I allow my co-founder Emmanuel, you know, to, I mean, my co-founder Emmanuel, you know, handles, you know, most of that. But I can say from my own point of view, one thing I don't really enjoy doing is talking to investors, right? yes, because I feel like, hey, you're saying the same thing. But it's usually, you know, not easy. And for me, most of the time, like after those calls, it's always not a reality check per se, but we coming back to say, how are we able to speak about, you know, this our business? Because it's like you're trying to sell your business to somebody to come put in money in your business, right? So aside from the fact that you are making money, you know, and obviously you can see that you're making money, but, you know, how well are you able to tell your story, right? That's like, so sometimes, you know, after we go ahead, you know, we this is what we're building at Temai, this, you know, we look at, we're like, are we too technical in talking about, you know, what we're building, you know, should we be more technical? So it's like, you know, and then you realize that, okay, there are some investors that want you to be very technical, there are some investors that, you know, it's like you just said everything and you just spoke over everybody's head, and, you know, and those kind of things also, they also matter in, you know, when speaking to, you know, investors, because how well you tell your story would, that's like the first thing, it would determine whether the investor is interested or not before they even go ahead to even check anything, like to check your, you know, take a look at your data room. Is your story, right? So if you're not able to, you know, tell a good story, for lack of a better word, it's like they're not going to buy it, they're not interested, right? So I think that's one thing I usually take out of those calls, right? And because I'm a quiet person by nature, so I really don't like talking, so most of those calls I'm quiet, I just want to listen in, and then my co-founder just says, oh, I will be answer this. And I'm like, I wasn't thinking about this before. So it sort of puts me on the spot. And for me, like, the interesting thing is it also helps me realize how much I understand what I am doing, right? And how much, you know, you can wake me up from sleep and ask me about, you know, what it's like, what technology is like, you know, at Temai, and I can give you, you know, an answer. Yeah.
Nice. And do you remember in particular any experience, whether very good or very bad, investor conversation that you had about Temai that you just left and you're like, oh my god, what just happened right now? Or one that you felt very excited and you're like, yes, this is what I'm doing, Temai.
So I'll give you two, right?
I'll start with
YC. Because I mean, this was 2019, it's going to be 6 years this year, and it still feels like yesterday. So we got to San Jose. We stayed in San Jose. I think YC's office was at Mountain View, so Silicon Valley, basically, went, you know, ahead. I didn't know what I was expecting, to be honest. Like, I was this guy, I was just, what I was concerned about was just building products, to be honest, right? Just write code.
Writing code.
That's what I was just bothered about, to be honest. So, although myself and, you know, Emmanuel, we've gone for like different pitches, but most of the time, you know, it's the one talking in like a lot of those pitches, right? So, and so like the first time I was going to pitch to like a group of people who were not Africans, right? Or Americans. So I didn't know what to expect, trust me. So we walked into, obviously we had done a bit of preparation. And shout out to my guys at Reliance HMO, Okwe, Olumeku and Femi. They both helped me, you know, sent materials that we could use to also prep for, you know, for the YC interview. You know, they walked into
page, yeah.
Walked into the room, you know, and I'm like, everybody straight face, asking question, back and forth. You know? And I think we have probably just had like 15 minutes. So I was nervous, you know, I was probably always shaking. And in my mind, I was just praying, I'm like, dear Lord, we can't fly all the way from Nigeria, you know, to the United States of America and go back empty-handed, you know. So yeah, so I got into the room and, you know, saw like, you know, this full panel, I think there were about four or five of them, you know, with straight fits, you know, the whole had like straight faces on, you know, and, you know, turn by turn, they kept on asking questions, like, and I think we had just 15 minutes. So they had already prepped us that, you know, they want to ask as much questions as they can, like they want to get as much information as they can get, you know, from talking, you know. So they were asking a lot of questions and it could seem intense, but they are only just trying to like get as much questions out. And we had already prepped. So yeah, questions. So we stepped out, said we should hold on a bit. So we were outside. And, you know, I remember in one of the YC partners then, he just walked to us and was like, he had one of that question wanted to ask us. I'm like, oh my God, like these people just furious. So
was that after the entire interview?
Yes, after that, like after the interview, right? So they just told us to hold on. So he came, you know, they asked, you know, went a bit back and forth again, you know, and then he said, okay, they'll get back to us. So, you know, myself and my co-founder were already praying, like, oh dear Lord, we can't come all the way from Nigeria and go back empty handed. Because this, you know, we're startup, you know, startup founders, and, you know, even the money to even fly all the way to USF, you know, it was,
yes, yeah.
So we're like, oh my God, no, we cannot but just get in. So, we had to get a US number, so we're just waiting, like, hey, please. And I think that already told us that, I can't remember which now, is you should hope to get a call, you know, but maybe not hope to get an email. So we're just there refreshing our emails.
You were waiting for the call.
And then we got an email. Ha! We're like, hey!
How soon? Interesting. How soon from after the whole pitch to...
This ended like, the whole pitch maybe ended like 2 p.m. By like 6, past 6, we got an email. And they're like, oh, they wanted to clarify.
Oh, the same day.
Same day. So like, they wanted to clarify a couple of things, sent a list of questions again for us to, I'm telling you, for us to respond to.
Oh my God.
And then, you know, went, responded, sent back another email for us to, and then responded again. You know, and you're like, okay, thank you. And, you know, at around like past 6, the phone rang. We had the phone. Obviously, there was no other person had that number.
Nobody. Like, that was the call you had given. Nobody had that
number. So, we were ready before we picked. And then,
who picked the call? Was it on speaker?
Yeah, on speaker. My co-founder picked the call and then put it on speaker. And you're like, yeah, are you going to accept? We want to invest. Are you guys... Like, we accept.
Before.
You know, congratulations, and come and see us. Oh my God, in our Airbnb, we're jumping. Nice. We're so excited. I mean, we came back to Nigeria with great news, you know, and we're going to leave. You know, that was in December. We're going to leave in January. That was one experience. That's still like my favorite you know, experience them all. I think
that's like the really fair, the good experience. That's nice. Like raising money and like being able to prepare for something, then go into, you know, the exam room, and then
you have to know your stuff, to be honest. Because people ask the question you're not expecting. Do you get me? Like, you know, that could just be. And the funny thing is that you might just have someone who does that person's area of expertise, right? You know, and the person might just be there and you would not even know, you know. And then just say the person asks the question, like, this person knows my space, you know. And you cannot bobo, sorry for using the word bobo, but you cannot
No,
you have to know your stuff. You know, if not, they will call your bluff. You'll be like, this guy's lying to us a bit. Or they will not ask a question that you can't answer. I think my second experience, this one was actually very funny. So we had this pitch, and you know, as usual, I was like, my co-founder is going to handle it, right? So he's going to handle it. So I didn't prepare much, you know. I mean, I saw the deck, I knew the deck, but you know, like there's a difference between when you are prepared for something and then when
mentally, right?
Yes. So
yeah.
Long story short, my co-founder, you know, could not join the call. And then, so it was because we had three co-founders. It was between myself and, you know, Tinuke, and myself and Tinuke were going back and forth on Slack. My investor should not see this. We were going back and forth on Slack. Who's going to take it? I'm like, Tinuke, take it. I'm not taking it. Like, take it. You know, oh my God. It was nothing. Like, I think after that, I just learned that I'm taking it, I'm not taking it, to be prepared, right? Like,
prepared.
So like nowadays, I, you know, because Emmanuel updates the deck from time to time. So I just go to the deck and I'm like, okay, this has changed. No, this has changed, you know. And I'm like, just studying, because I'm like, hey, I might expect that he might be in the room, you know, for that call. And it may not have. So that wasn't a very nice experience, to be honest, because it felt like we were very, and that was like the first call with that investor. So it wasn't.
So is that how it just, that was the end of the call?
No, not at all, actually. Interestingly, I think we had a couple of other
calls. So that means he didn't do so bad at the end of the day.
Yeah. Emmanuel came 9 minutes eventually, you know, after we had, you know, taken the pitch already, we had already pitched. You know, and then just joins the call last week, you know. But yeah, I feel like that was like, after that day, I was like, no, this is not happening to me again. Like, I felt so, I don't know, but nah, that was like maybe my worst experience.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I know, building a company and just pitching the whole 9 yards, like it's always a lot. And when you look back, you just be like, wow. There's a lot that I've learned from this whole journey. But still talking about funding, I've had conversations with different startup founders, and some of them have talked about how, you know, how great funding is. Some they don't really like the idea of funding because you cannot give up your equity too early. So how do you think about retaining ownership and getting money for growth? When one in like a startup, how does one balance that?
So, now this is my own opinion, right? So, my own opinion. So, for me, I feel like it's not a one cap fits all. It depends, right? If you can build your company, be a $1 million company, a unicorn, without collecting, you know, venture capital, right? I mean, please go ahead, to be honest. Like, whatever you can do, you know, do it. But then, for me, I like to see it from another perspective, right? So, having investors, you know, two things. One, it gives you, you know, capital, because that's what it is, to be able to, you know, expand, you know, do a couple of things that, you know, your what's it called now, revenue, the money you are making from the business won't be able to help you do. There is only a limit to what, you know, that money that comes in, you know, revenue, basically the money that comes in every month, you know, can do for a business, right? So if you really want to scale, you know, and grow, you know, maybe scale across Africa, scale across multiple products, you know, hire a team. I don't think, I mean, I may be wrong. I know people have done it. And if you can, please go ahead. Why not? Right? So that's one, capital. Second thing is accountability, right? It just has to work because you've collected people's money. People's hard-earned money invested into your business, right? It just has to work. So aside from you wanting to build as a founder, you know, it's like you owe it, permit me to put it that way, but you owe it to your investors to ensure that this venture succeeds, right? So people have put in, because they have also gone ahead to raise money from people who have trusted them with their own funds to make the right decision to put the money, you know, in, you know, companies that they feel have potential. That's what investors do, right? So you owe it to them to ensure that you succeed. And one good way is accountability. So I remember very early days, one of our early investors, we used to have like weekly calls with them. At some point, we were like, is this still not too much? You know, but, you know, that thing put us on our toes, right? Because coming into the next call, you know, you had to have, hey, how are you guys doing? Like, okay, what's happening?
Have to be prepared,
I remember even YC, why were at YC? We had group officers every 2 weeks, right? And you're coming every 2 weeks with your batch, with your group members, and you guys had to talk about, you know, what did you do last 2 weeks? What was the progress that you made last 2 weeks? But you can't come in there saying, I tried to sell, but I could not sell, you know. Accountability, like, so it's like, because if you are saying this, there's somebody else that is on the call there, sorry, not the call, but that is there physically with you, and he's saying, oh, I closed this deal, I closed this deal, I closed this deal.
Yeah,
you know,
so it just doesn't paint you in a good light.
Like this guy, you don't know what you are doing, and already, I mean, the, the investors on their own will begin to doubt, like, what's this guy? Maybe we made the wrong choice or something, right? So for me, I feel like accountability, right? It just has to work. It just has to work. So two things. One, like I said, capital to just help you scale, remove that burden of, you know, remove that burden that it would place, or financial strain that it would place, you know, on your revenue, you know, and you could do that to run, like, use that to run like operational cost, as your revenue to run operational costs, base salaries and all of that, you know, while using that, you know, investors' money to just scale the business. And then, you know, accountability, like I said, to ensure that, hey, this business has to work. You know, you're not taking the money to go and buy a house in Banana Island or buy exotic cars.
Go and buy a car, True. I like what you said. I think it's really also a mindset thing, right? Because when you take money, people have different mindsets, especially when they have money. So founders are not as disciplined to say, okay, this is the money, this is the reason I raised, you know, this money for. Yeah. I want to ensure that this business grows. We've heard so many, you know, news about different founders that just misappropriate their funds. So, just knowing why you're raising, like, just knowing your why before even going to raise. So, Ayo, two more questions. The first one is, let's talk about you as a person, outside of what you do at Tamai. So what do you do? What do you do for fun outside of coding or pitching? When you want to relax, what do you do?
That's a very interesting question. When I want to relax, I probably sleep, right? Or maybe Netflix, to be honest. Or maybe I'm reading a book. It depends. It just depends on
the mood. You're reading a book.
I don't have that one thing.
Okay.
I'm not doing this, like, this, what I'm doing.
That you do.
Yeah, so I'm trying to rest. Rest. That's why I said sleep. So sleep, not in terms
rest,
of...
that's important, yeah.
Rest, you know. I'm either trying to just, you know, rest, because I know the moment I open my eyes, work continues. Or I'm probably trying to maybe just watch something. I love watching documentaries, right? So maybe watch a documentary, you know, on Netflix, you know.
What's the last documentary you watched that was interesting?
Last documentary I watched was
or any documentary that you enjoyed.
Oh, okay. One, gut health. About how important our gut health is. We are what we eat. Yeah.
I actually enjoy watching documentaries as well.
Yeah. We are what we eat. Yeah. So I think that's like one of the most interesting documentary I've watched like in the last 3 or 6 months.
Interesting. I'll check it out. Interesting. Yeah. Okay. And final question. What would you say you have learnt? I don't know if learnt is the word, but I'm looking at how have you changed as a person in terms of leading? Because being a CTO, you've had to lead people, lead yourself, lead a company. So looking back since 2017, how has the different stages of Temai changed you as a person?
I think one, I've learned to be patient, right? And it's not like I'm very patient now. I'm still learning to be patient, but I think I'm more patient, you know, now than I was, you know, years ago, to be honest, because working with people, you know, will teach you to be patient. I think
patient.
One other thing I've also learned is to trust people, right? And trust, by trusting people, I mean like trust them to do the work. They may not totally get it, or they may not do it as you think, you know, they should, or as probably you feel like it's the best way for it to be done, you know, but then trusting people and giving them that opportunity to express themselves, you know, and do, like let them fail, right? You know, and then correct them, you know, when they fail. So yeah, I think I've learned to be patient, I've learned to trust people. You know, what else? And more recently, I've learned to rest, right? I've learned to take my health seriously. Yes, to be honest, I'm scared that it's only a living being. You know, it's only if you're alive that you will enjoy the hard work.
That kind of work.
Or as hopes, the fruit of your labor. So. I've learned to also rest.
Awesome. So trust, patience, and rest, health. Yeah, those are very core, you know, important things in life. Yeah, so thank you so much, Ayomide. This has been an interesting conversation, learning more about you, learning more about Temai and what you're building so far. So yeah, thanks for coming on the Tech Journey podcast, and wishing you all the best.